Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chof Beis, and Mirtz Hashem will also get to Chof Gimel Omud Aleph in our goal to try to be ahead for Pesach. It is now the start of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When I'm dictating this, I wish everybody a wonderful Rosh Chodesh. It should be a month of Geula and Yeshua for all of Klal Yisrael. We begin where we left off yesterday on Chof Aleph Omud Beis by the two dots with the famous words of Mai Chanukah. This is the only place in the Gemara where we really have a discussion about Chanukah. Chanukah, as opposed to almost all of the other days, including even Purim, doesn't have its own Masechta, and this is the place where we really have most of the dinim related to Chanukah, the menorah, and other related dinim. So the Gemara starts off and says, "My Chanukah, what is the reason that the rabbis set up Chanukah?" So we all know the famous story, the Tanur Rabbanan. This is the famous Braisa from Megillas Tainis, where it says, "B'chafei b'kislev yomi d'chanukah." On the 25th day of the month of Kislev, that's when Chanukah starts. And it lasts 8 days. Timnaya inon. There are 8 days, of course, because of the nes of Chanukah. The lola mispeid b'hon, and one is not allowed to make a spade and make eulogies on this day. And likewise, the lola sanus b'hon, and one is not allowed to go and fast on these days of Chanukah. What happened? Kishenichnusu Yevanim Lehecho, the Yevanim, the Syrian Greeks, when they came in, ransacked the Beis HaMikdash. So they destroyed almost anything that was good and tar, and they defiled everything. So Timu Kol HaShemanim Shebehecho, they ruined, they made Tamei all the oils that were present there, and therefore there was no holy oil, no tar oil left. And when Baruch Hashem, the Maccabees and the Beis HaShemanoim, they were victorious against these Yevonim, so they wanted to go light the menorah. But they looked, and they only found one pach, one little flask of oil, and that is the famous Nes of Chanukah. It was a miracle. This is one of the reasons why we light for 8 days. The famous question of the Beis Yosef, why do we light for 8 days? If they found oil for 1 day, so then the Nes of Chanukah was only 7 days. So one of the Nisim, one of the 100 answers, the whole Sefer written 100 answers to the Beis Yosef's famous question. So one of the answers is that they found the oil. That was one Nes. And then that it lasted for an extra 7 days. That was the other 7 days of Nes. So in any event, they found this oil which had the Chosam, the seal of the Kohen Gadol. That's also very strange because we don't find anywhere that oils had the Chosam of the Kohen Gadol. So there are a number of Medrashim that explain over here two possibilities as to why this was special oil. So one possibility is that it came from Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu went back for the Pachim Kitanim that he left behind, and he fought with the Malach, where he had the whole battle with the Gid HaNoshe. So some say that this was that flask of oil that Yaakov Avinu went back for, and that was buried and handed down over the years, and that's the flask of oil that they found. An ultimate explanation is this was from the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, which also had the miraculous property that it never was used up. They kept on pouring it on all the Kalim, on all the Kohanim, the Levium, and yet it didn't get used up. He only made a small amount. And this was buried, and that had the Chosam of the Kohen Gadol on it, is referring to the Shemen HaMishcha. In any event, they found this Pach Shemen. There was only enough oil to light for 1 day. So Nasav Nes, the famous miracle, occurred. It lasted for 8 days, and therefore the rabbi set up Lashon Acheres next year, Kavon Basum Yomim Tovim, a special holiday at this time of the year to remind ourselves of this unbelievable Nes, and we celebrate this Bahalel Vehodah, as opposed to other Yomim Tovim, we celebrate in a different way. Here specifically, this is a special day of Thanksgiving. So it's interesting when the secular holiday of Thanksgiving came out on Chanukah. So he said, this is the real Chanukah. That Thanksgiving, that's what the whole Yontif of Chanukah is all about. That we give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful Nisim that he has done for us for Chanukah and all time. They asked the famous question, why couldn't we use Tamei D'Goel? We know the fact is Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. And a beautiful explanation is that when you're starting something, and this was the initiation, if you wish, of the Beis HaMikdash from all the destruction and the desecration that the Greeks had done, the Syrian Greeks had done. So therefore, we have to start it. When you're starting something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, start it with absolute purity. You can't start something on a bidyavid. So yeah, you could have used Tamei D'Goel oil, but that wouldn't be the best way to start something. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this nes for us, that we found this oil in the last of 8 days, so we should begin the repurification and the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash with the most pure and best of motives. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Tanan Hossam, Lind over there in the Mishnah as well, this is above Gemara and Baba Kama, Gates Hayotzi Mitachas HaPatish, when a spark comes off from when the blacksmith goes and bangs on an anvil, and the sparks come flying off, so that spark could cause damage. So Geitz Hayose Mitachas the Patish V'yotzo V'hizik, and then it goes out and flies off, and it goes and causes damage to somebody's flax or whatever by burning it. So Chayev, the person, the blacksmith who gave the zets over here on the anvil, so he's responsible. He has to know what's going to happen if he smashes down and sparks go flying and it burns somebody's property. So he's going to be held accountable. Likewise, Gomul Shoton Pishton, if a camel is carrying flax on its back, for over Rishus Rabin, it's passing through the Rishus Rabin, right? There was the truck. The camel was the truck, and it carried the flax from one place to another. But the driver is not careful, and the flax goes into somebody's store, and the dolk gobinei Rishul Chanvani. Now, the storekeeper has lights in his store. It's dark, so he has lamps. They had oil lamps, and the flax goes and gets lit by those lamps. So whose fault is it? The hidlik is a bira. Now it goes, burns down the tower that's over there. Bira is some sort of a building, and it burns the building down. So who's responsible? So the Gemara says, in Bava Kama, Baal HaGomel Chayev, the one who owns the camel. He wasn't careful. He let his flax go inside the building, catch a flame, and burn the building down. So he's held accountable. However, if the storekeeper didn't keep his candle inside, but instead he put it outside, now that's the Rishus HaRabim. Everybody has the right to go there, and the driver of the camel isn't necessarily going to be expecting that he is going to encounter flame in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. So in this situation, it's the Chenvani who put it over there, he's Chayev. But Rav Yehuda Omer, if it was Ben Erech Hanukkah Patur, but since he has the right to put the Ner Hanukkah outside, so in that situation, the camel driver should have been more careful and should have been looking for Neros Hanukkah, and therefore in that situation, the camel driver would be in fact held accountable, and the storekeeper would not be held accountable. The Chenvani would not be accountable. Now, what do we learn from this? Amar Ravina, and some have the gears of Mishum Derabba, others don't have it over here, others say it should be Mishum Derabba. Mishmei Derava. In any event, whoever it was that Ravina said in the name of Sol Samari, so we can see her halacha, that near Chanukah mitzvah, anicha mesoch asara, that a lighting of the Chanukah licht has to be within 10 tvachim of the ground. Asara always means masculine, so it's tvachim. It has to be within 10 tvachim of the ground. And this is brought down halacha l'maisa, because ideally, when we light the candles, we want to make sure that it's not being mistakenly thought for a light for the room. So nobody lights the light for the room in the bottom 10 tvachim. You light it higher than that. So bedafko, we light it within 3 to 10 tvachim of the ground. We don't want to light it within 3 tvachim of the ground, because then it's like on the ground, and that's not b'chabadik. So you light it between 3 and 10 tvachim in an ideal setting. And that's what it tells us over here, that the bedafko put the Chanukah licht within 10 tvachim of the ground. And he says, the Isoka Daitoch Lamalami Asar, because if you were allowed to light it more than 10 tvachim of the ground, so then the storekeeper could tell to the camel driver, and he could say to him, Le'mole, he could tell him, Hayolocha La'niach Lamalami Gomel Rochbo. The person who got damaged over here, he could argue to the Chenvani, why didn't you put it higher up? You can't say you had every right to put it out there, because it's Chanukah Licht. No, you should have put it up 20 amas high. You should have put it up 10 amas high. And this way the camel wouldn't have knocked it. So therefore you are held accountable for putting it at a low place. So therefore you see from over here that the halach is that you have to light it within 10 tefachim of the ground. But the Gemara says, maybe not, even though we do paskin like this. The Gemara says that's not a raya. Duma imitricha leituva, because if we say, no, you have to go on a step stool and put it 10 amas up in the air, so then osilim nuyim imitzah, then he's going to say, ah, it's not worth it. It's too much trouble. So therefore, in order to make it easy for him, we're allowed to put it in the lower part of the Rishus HaRabim. But lav dafka, can you learn out that that is the halacha? Nevertheless, that is in fact the halacha. He's supposed to light it ideally within 10 tefachim of the ground. Mark continues and says, Amar Rav Kahana, Darish Rav Nosim Bar Minyumi, Mishayi Rabbi Tanchum, Rav Nosim Bar Minyumi, said in the name of Rabbi Tanchum, the following halacha, return to the Yomad Aleph, Ner Shulchanako Shinich Lamala Michofa Amah Besula Kesuka Ukimavoy, that if you light the candles too high, so it's not within the normal vision of a person, it won't accomplish, as Rashi says, Veleka Persume Nisa, you're not going to have over here the publicization of this wonderful miracle. If it's too high up, nobody's going to see it, and therefore, if you light the candles above 20 amma high, so then it's no good. Of course, if a person lives in an apartment building, so then he's lighting it for the people inside his house. It's not 20 amma above the ground, the floor of his apartment. It may be 20 amma above from the floor outside, but that's not what he's lighting it for. In any event, so this is the halacha. You shouldn't light it too high. You shouldn't light it too low. It shouldn't be within 3 tvachim of the ground. It should ideally be between 3 and 10 tvachim of the ground. But if you light it between 10 tvachim and 20 amma, you are also yotze. That's the halacha l'maisa. Another halacha from Nosson Bar Minyumi, since we said one halacha in his name, so we say another halacha in his name. Amar Rav Kahana, Dorish of Nosson Bar Minyumi, Mishmei de Rabbi Tamchum, another halacha. What does it mean? Va'abor reik ein bo moyim, when the brothers, they threw Yosef HaTzadik into the pit. The other Shvatim threw him into the pit. They said that the well over here, this bor, is empty. Ein bo moyim. So Gemara says, Mimash v'shenemar v'bor reik. Once you tell me that it's empty, and you're there, shame b'mayim, so of course it doesn't have water in it. That's what empty means. So this is obviously a big drasha, will be a famous drasha. Elamatam v'lomar ein b'mayim. So Rashi and Chumash brings this Gemara down, and it's a famous drasha. What does it mean when it says the bor is empty, but it has no water? It means mayim ein bo, it didn't have water in it, but avon nechoshin v'yakarab miyesh bo, it had snakes and scorpions inside of it. Some suggest that the Shvatim, in fact, knew this, and they were saying that normally snakes and scorpions would not harm a tzaddik. So if Yosef, a tzaddik, is really a tzaddik, so then he won't be harmed. We're not really doing anything to him. And if he is harmed, obviously, then he deserved to be harmed and punished. And this way, we're letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide whether or not he should be harmed. That's one way to look at it. Others say that the brothers were not aware of it, because that's why Reuven put him in there. Reuven suggested, I'm going to save him. Put him in that pit, he'll be safe there. If he had known that there were Nechoshim and Akravim, he wouldn't have said that. Anyway, two different competing midrashim. Marketing says, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah mitzvah laniach betefach hasmucha letefach. When you're lighting the Chanukah lift and you're lighting it by your doorway, you should light it within a tefach of the doorway. Rashi says over here that you want to make sure that you're lighting it over here, betefach hasomach lepesach, because shem yachikenu lahalum in a pesach, because you light it farther away from the pesach, other than a tefach, enoniko shebalabai sinichushim. It's not recognizable that the owner of the house put it there. That's why you put it within a tefach of the house door. Okay, where it says, which side of the door do you put it on? Where do you put it? He says you put it on the right side of the door as you're entering into the house. And Rav Shmuel ben Dissi, Amar Shmuel, he says you put it on the left side of the house. And we pass in effect like on the left as you're entering into the house. If you're lighting it by the doorpost, that's where you enter. And you put it on the left. Why? Because this way you're surrounding your house with mitzvahs. You have the mezuzah on the right side as you're coming in. You have the ner chanukah on the left side as you're coming in. And this way the entire lintel is surrounded over here with mitzvahs. Rashi explains, how do we know that the mezuzah is on the right side of the house? Because it says, derech beisecha, which means derech biosecha, the way you're coming in. And a person who's a righty, most people are righties, they'll move their right foot first. So therefore you're entering to the house first on the right side with your right foot, so to say. So therefore the mezuzah goes up on the right side as you enter the house. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, and some have the gear, so over here, Amar Rav, on the side it brings down in the Rosh that that's not correct, and from Rashi it seems that that's also not there, so it's just Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. And he said, Arso laharzos mos, kinege ner chanukah, he says, you're not allowed to count money. Rashi says, laharzos means over here, the limnos, based upon the Gemara and Yuma. In any event, you're not allowed to go count money by the light of the Chanukah light. This, of course, is halacha lemaisa, that you're not allowed to get any benefit from the Chanukah lights. However, there is a machlokas about this. So, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says you can't count money by the Chanukah light. And Ki Amrinan Kameh de Shmuel, when this halacha was then told over to Shmuel, so he said, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, and then he subsequently learned after Rav died by Shmuel, so he would tell over many halachas to Shmuel. So, Ki Amrinan Kameh de Shmuel, when he told it over to Shmuel, Armeli, so Rav Yehuda says that Shmuel told me, no. V'chiner kedusha yesh ba, why not? Does the Chanukah lift have kedusha to it that you'd like being moel with it? You're not allowed to get any hanoah from it? Why not? You can count all the money you want by it. That's Shmuel's opinion. This is questioned, though. Maskev Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef questions and he says, wait a second. All of these dinim are learned out from dam that we do by kisui adam, when you shecht a bird or when you shecht a chaya, as opposed to a behema. When you're shechting a wild animal or you're shechting a bird, so then there's a mitzvah to be mechasa the dam, to cover up the blood. Now he says, when you're covering up the blood, that's a mitzvah. Does the dam itself have any kedusha intrinsically to it? No. The Tanya, we learned in a pasuk yet, it says, v'shafach, the Brisa tells us within the pasuk, v'shafach v'chisa, that you have to go cover up the blood after you've spilt the blood. Meaning, after you shechted it, then you go and cover it up. So it says, "V'darshin b'mesh shofach yichasa." With the same way that you shechted, i.e., with your hand, you have to go and cover it up, i.e., with your hand. Shlo yichasenu b'regel. It's pasnish. It's improper to go and cover up the blood with your foot, which many people would naturally have thought would be a good way to do this. So it tells us, do it with your hand, b'dafka, based upon the pasuk, the hekish in the pasuk that tells me the same way you do v'shofach. Rashi says that you're shechting with your hand, so you too, you have to do the kisui adam with your right hand, and this is because shlo yu mitzos bezu. It shouldn't be degrading. Ah, you get to kick some dirt on it. That's not a nice way. You take your hand and b'chavadik, you go and do the kisui adam. So just like over there, Rav Yosef says that you're supposed to go and cover up with your hand, and because you don't want to do a bizya mitzvah, hochanami, so to avir, by the Chanukah licht, you can't go and read by the Chanukah licht, count your money by the Chanukah licht, show mitzvahs bezuyas lov, because that's an improper use of this holy type of oil, even though it's intrinsically not kedusha, just like the blood is not intrinsically kedusha, but it's a bizya mitzvahs if you go and count money by it. Obviously, Shmuel didn't hold like this, but Rav Yosef did. The Gemara continues and says, "Boy minay me Rav Yishu ben Levi." They ask the following shaila from Yishu ben Levi: "Malu stapek minoy sukkah kol shiva? Are you allowed to use the decorations that you hang in the sukkah?" Now we're talking here about actual fruits that they would hang up in the sukkah, and are you allowed to eat them? So if these were noy sukkah, they were the decorations of the sukkah. They're hooked so limitzvasim. They're set aside for the mitzvah of noy sukkah, and therefore you can't eat them. So Amar lehem. So he told them, "Hari Amar asal haratzos smalls kineged ner Chanukah." So along comes Rav Yishu ben Levi. They asked him, "Are you allowed to get benefit from the noy sukkah?" And he said, "No, you're not allowed to." And we learn this out from Ner Chanukah. Just like you're not allowed to count money by the Ner Chanukah, so too you can't allow to go and take the noy sukkah off and eat them, the fruits that you put up. So he's bringing a raya from Ner Chanukah. Now Ner Chanukah was Amar Yehuda Amar Ravasi. That's an Amora. So Amar Rav Yosef objects to this over here. He says, "Mari de Avram." It's like a shvua, the master of Avram. How could you say this? Totally Tanya, but lo Tanya. We have a brisa that tells us that you can't eat from the noy sukkah, and you're learning it out from a lo Tanya, from a non brisa, i.e., from an amora, from Yehuda Ravasi, because by sukkah there's a real brisa. Sukkah Tanya by sukkah we have a brisa, and Chanukah that was only an amoraic statement from Yehuda Ravasi. Lo Tanya. The Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, it says beferish sichcha kilchasa. If you go and put up the kasher ischach on a sukkah, and then the itrum bikrumim, and you go decorate it over here with all sorts of krumim. Krumim are like Rashi says over here, yirios shel tzivoyim, colored walls, like colored garments. Ubisadinin hamitzuyarim, and also various types of embroidered types of cloths over here. The solar boy goes him a farsikin shkedim rimonim, and you hang up all sorts of fruits. It goes him a nuts, a farsikin of peaches, shkedim of almonds, and rimonim of pomegranates. And also parkile anovim v'atorah shoshibolim, or you take clusters of grapes over here, or bundles of grain, or yenos shmonim uslasos, you take wines or oils and flour and you hang them up there. So also stop it, you not only use them, they were designated to be the noise sukkah, and you can't take them down. Say, "I'm hungry," and bring them down. And you can use them after sukkahs. Until sukkahs is over, they're hooked to the sukkaso. Ad matzayantiv achron shulchag, you're not allowed to use them. But if made it tonight that you're allowed to use them, hakol if you didn't know, then you didn't makse them, you didn't set them aside for being noise sukkah. So what do you see over here? That this is in fact a Tanoic approach. And why are you bringing me a raya from an Amora? And the Gemara says, "Elam Rav Yosef, no, avu and dekulu dam." No, where did this brisa get it from? This brisa got it from the hekish in the pasuk b'shafach v'chisa. So that's really the source of everything. It happens to be mentioned by an Amora, but that's the reason why the brisa says if it's huksul mitzvah, so you can't use it as well. This is the way the Tosfos Yeshanim understood this. He said, "Hakol echad iskatzi l'mitzvaso mishum bizi mitzvah." He compares and says this is all one and the same thing, that this bizui mitzvah, which really got us started over here, you shouldn't do it in a disparaging way. You shouldn't read by the light of the Chanukah lift. You shouldn't go kick the dirt on the kisui adam. You shouldn't go and take off the noy sukkah, because all of this is bizui mitzvah. But here it's also hooked to the mitzvah. So the Tosfos Yeshanim, which you can see on our daf in the column underneath the Ein Mishpat, so he brings this down as one answer. Others learn it as two different answers. We'll learn it like the Tosfos Yeshanim. That's the easiest way to understand this. The Gemara continues and says, "Itmar Rav Amar imadlik miner l'ner." Famous machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you're not allowed to light one candle to the other candle. You have to take a separate match, let's say, and light each candle individually. But you shouldn't take one candle and light the second candle and light the third candle. Or Shmuel Amar imadlik. No, not a problem to do that. Now, we'll discuss this more in a few moments, but let's just finish off the other two machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel over here that are unique. Rav Amari Matir and Tzitzis Mi Begi Lebegi. You're not allowed to take off Tzitzis from one garment and put them on another garment, because you're destroying the first garment, even though you're making it now good on the second garment. Ushmuel Amari Matir Mi Begi Lebegi. And Shmuel says, no, you're allowed to do that. That's not a problem. And the third machlokas is Rav Amari and Alocha Kerav Shimon Megrira. We don't pass over here like Rabbi Shimon in regards to dragging a stool. Normally, if you're making a charitz, you're making a hole in the ground, so you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So here, you're dragging a heavy chair, it's going to make a charitz. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says you're not interested in the charitz, you're interested in moving the chair from point A to point B. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says it's something that you don't have any intention for, and unless you have intention for it, you're not going to be chayiv. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Well, Shmuel disagrees. That's Rav's opinion. Ain't aloch Rabbi Shimon Megrira. Rav says that aloch is not like this Rabbi Shimon. And Shmuel says, no, it is. Amar aloch Rabbi Shimon Megrira. We paskin like this, that you're not chayiv. And these are three machlokas in Rav Shmuel and Amar Abaye, Komili Damar, Avit Karav. Normally, he says, my Rebbe, the Mar, which is his Rebbe, is Rabba, always paskin like Rav. with the exception of these three things. Davar, mehanit los David kishmuel. In these three things, normally we pass like Rav in Isura over Shmuel, which is why Rabbah did this, but in these three exceptions to the rule, he passed like Shmuel. Number one, madliki miner ler, he allowed you to go and light from one candle to the other candles on Hanukkah. Umatir mi begel begin, he allowed you to take off the tzitzis from one garment to put them on another garment. And he says, Alochi Rabbi Shimon Magrira, and we pass it over here that if it's not what you wanted, it wasn't your intention to go make this hole in the ground, so then even though the hole is made, it's not a problem. Alochi Rabbi Shimon Magrira. Why? Detanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Gora Adam Mita Kisiv Isaf, so Bavachli is scabbing last those corners. As long as your intention wasn't to make this furrow in the ground, so then it's not a problem, even though it will occur no matter what, even though it is actually a psik resha that it will happen, but if you don't intend to do this, so then you're not chayav. That's the famous sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So in these three things, we paskin according to Rabbah, like Shmuel, and not like Rav. Now the Gemara goes back and discusses the first. We're not going to really discuss the second and the third anymore of the differences between Rav and Shmuel, but we go back and discuss in more detail the first opinion difference between the two. So Yosef, how may Rabbanon come to Rav Adi Bar Abba? One of the Talmidim was sitting in front of Rav Adi Bar Abba. The Yosef Kamar, he then sat down and he said. Now it said he was sitting there. So what does it tell us? He sat down again. So I always tell over. I heard from my Rabbeim that they would be sitting in the shir, and then if they wanted to speak, they would stand up and they would wait till they get permission. Once they were given permission to speak, then they could go and sit down again. So he was sitting. He then stood up, got permission to speak, and then he could sit down again. And he asked the following shaila. Taima de Rav Mishum Bizvi Mitzvah. The reasoning for Rav that he says that you're not allowed to go and light from one candle to the other candle is because of the bizui of the mitzvah. It's degrading to the mitzvah that you're using this candle, which was a l'shem mitzvah, and you're now using it to light another candle. That's a degradation, a denigration of the mitzvah. That's what he said in front of his Rebbe, Rav Adi Bar Abba. Amalhu, Rav Adi Bar Abba said to all the other Talmidim that were over there, not just to this one person, he said, Lo tetzai sulei, don't listen to this Talmud, he's wrong. Taima de Rav Mishum de Kol Machish Mitzvah. The reason isn't because of Bizui Mitzvah, you're degrading the Mitzvah, but it's because you're minimizing the Mitzvah over here. The candle is losing some of its flame when it lights the other flame. You're somewhat putting the candle out, and that you're not allowed to do. As Rashi brings down over here in Dira Masla Achushe, the Merze, it looks like Keman the Shokul Nohora, the Shoiv Ktsas Milichluch Shamno. It's like you're taking out some of the oil over here, you're diminishing the flame. That's why it's wrong. So, no, nafkamina, my benayi, what's the difference between the two reasons? Both of them say it's awesome. So Gemara says, ika benayi, there's a major nafkamina between them, the komadlik mishroga lishroga, directly. When you go and take candle number one, and you directly light candle number two. Man, the Amar Mishum Bizui Mitzvah, the one who says that it's degrading, this Talmud over here who said that it's degrading this way, so then, mishroga lishroga madlik, so then, you would be allowed to go light it. How's that degrading? You're not taking a match to the candle and making the candle go light a match, and that would be degrading, that it's lighting a match. Here, you're lighting another mitzvah. Why is that degrading? So to take the candle number one and directly light candle number two from it is not degrading. That's part of the mitzvah. But according to the opinion, Rabbi the Rabbi said, Man de Omer Mishum Achushe Mitzvah, you're diminishing the first candle when you light it to something else. You taka doing it, Mishrag L'shrag, and Nami Yosef. So what? Did you light in candle number two? You're diminishing candle number one, and therefore it shouldn't be allowed. So that's a nafkamina between the two. Gemara asks, Mosiv Ravavia, Ravavia asks over here, we turn to the Omer, Beis, Selah, Shell, Meiser Sheni, if you have a coin of Meiser Sheni. Now, this coin of Meiser Sheni, Rashi says, is a dinar, Shechila Lea Meiser Sheni, that you went and redeemed Meiser Sheni produce on it. So this coin now has Kiddush of Meiser Sheni on it. So you're not allowed to go take it in Shoklin Kinegdo Dinre Zohav. You can't go and measure out other coins against it to see their weight. You know exactly the weight of this coin, and you'll put in a balance scale some other coins to make sure that they're the same weight. Their coins weren't always worth face value, they were worth the weight. So you know that this coin weighs an ounce, and you want to put up coins on the other side to see that they're also worth an ounce. So that's degrading to the Meiser Sheni coin, which has Kiddush to it, to be used as a balance against other coins. And he says, Vafilu l'chalul of Meiser Sheni Acher. Even if you're doing this to the other coins that you're going to put in there, you're going to say, I need to know that I have a sellah's worth, a certain weight's worth of coin over here, and I'll redeem additional Meiser Sheni with that coin. So I'm doing it for a holy purpose. Even Afilu l'chalul of Meiser Sheni Acher, you're not allowed to do this. Now, let's see how this fits in with the two opinions that we had about Rav. I amis b'shlomo, if you're telling me over here, that the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, keep pligi Rav and Shmuel, min erler, when they're arguing that you're not allowed to light one candle to another candle, that is the machlok is between them, but avol bikinso oser Shmuel, but the only time that they're having a machlokes is if you're lighting directly from one candle to the other candle. That's where Rav says you're not allowed to do it, and Shmuel says you are allowed to do it. But if you're using kinsa, aser Shmuel, then Shmuel says even if you're taking like a match and you're lighting the match to candle number one, even Shmuel would be more that that's no good. So then, holo tevi to yufta. So then everything works out well over here. You can see this in Rashi, in the second line in Rashi, which goes into the third line. He says that he's talking about the machlok is only when you light directly, mamish, v'lo b'kisim, and not with like a splinter or with a match over here. But v'ha, hu d'shari Shmuel. Shmuel only allows it directly. D'lo chayish lachushi. He's not concerned that you're weakening the mitzvah. It's talking about over here, avol bikinso de bizihu moda. If you're using a match or if you're using a little twig or a splinter over here to go light, so then that's a bizri mitzvah. Halav have you tiyufta the hanach dinarim the chulin lo gufayu mitzvah. And that's why in the case of the using the maser sheni money as a balance to the other coins, it's not against this. And Rashi says va'afol gav dele mitzvah kaboy luhu lekinso damya. We compare it to the lighting of a twig or a match, which you're not allowed to do. So too, you're not allowed to use these coins over here because it's a bizri mitzvah. But if you say, like the opinion that the machlokes between Rav Shmuel, Eliyamris bekinsa nami shari Shmuel, that Shmuel even allowed you to use a match to go light from one to the other, ho v'tzorech mitzvah, ho have you tiyufta, the osa lishkov, I forgot the tzorech mitzvah. So then, how come over here, you're not allowed to do this? If you're saying that you're doing it l'tzorech mitzvah, so then the Talmud who argued with Rav Ada Barava is wrong. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba, no. The whole thing over here is a Gezerah. Gezerah, Shem Oli Yechavi, Mishkolosov. You know what? You may end up changing your mind. That coin that you put in on the other side and you say, I'm going to use it for my Sasheni money, you maybe change your mind. You say, no, it's not the right size. I decided to eat the produce. And therefore, V'komafik Luhuluchulin, it's never going to be used for a mitzvah. So it's different than when you're lighting the match. When you're lighting the match with candle number one, of course, if you go light your stove with that, that would be wrong. But to light candle number two, you did a mitzvah. But here, when you're having the coin that's the Maaseh Sheni coin, you're using it as a balance for the other coins, maybe you're not going to use the other coins for a mitzvah. You're not going to turn them into Maaseh Sheni. And therefore, it's not a kasha. Gemara now is going to say that whole machlokis is wrong, and whether you hold like the Talmud or like hold like Rav Ada Barava. And most of Rav Sheish says, I have a braisa that seems to say totally differently. The pasuk says, Michutz laparoches hoedos, there, Yaroch, Aaron has to go and light the candle over there. Now, this is talking about the menorah. Now, v'chila oru hu tzarech, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need light? We know, v'alo kol arbim shoshoch b'nei yisrael b'midbar, all the 40 years that we were in the desert, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to give him light? No, the other way around. L'hoch el yoro, we traveled by the yesh. Whenever we traveled by the fire. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our lights. So then why do we have lights in the Mishkan? Why do we have lights in the Beis HaMikdash? L'hoch el yoro, we go by Hashem's light. He doesn't need our light. Elo the purpose of those lights, elo edus hu l'bay olam. This light in the Mishkan, the menorah, is to show all the people, called Bay Olam, Shashchina Shar Bisrael. This is definitive proof that God has chosen to reside over here in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. And this nace that occurs with the candles is the proof of that. My Eidus, what is this proof? What is this Eidus over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Zunem Maravi. Rav holds that this is the Western candle. That is a famous machlokas we have in the Gemara elsewhere, in Menachos and in other places, where there are two opinions as to which way the menorah was oriented. Was it either oriented in a north-south orientation, or was it oriented in an east-west orientation? According to the opinion, it says it was oriented in a north-south orientation, so then the middle candle pointed towards the west, and all the other candles pointed towards it. So the three outer candles on the left, and the three outer candles on the right, all pointed towards the middle candle. They faced north-south orientation, and the middle candle pointed west. That's the nace of the Ner Marabi. According to the sheet that it says it was oriented in an east-west orientation, so then the easternmost candle is called the Ner Mizrahi, and the first one after that is the first Ner Marabi. And that one was the one that faced towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Holy of Holies. And therefore, in this situation, there was a clear-cut miracle over here, Zuner Marabi. Shinosim Boshemen Kimidis Chevrosel. This candle over here had properties that none of the other candles had. That was Umimeno Hayamadlik. It lasted all night long, And then it lasted all day long. Even though they each had the same half a log of oil put into all the seven receptacles, the middle candle, which was identified, as we said, in the whether it was the north-south orientation or the east-west orientation, so that middle candle had a nes occurring to it. The Ner Maravi had a nes occurring to it, and it never went out. Certainly when Klai Yisrael was following the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it didn't go out. And therefore, all the other candles, they burnt out overnight, but the Ner Maravi stayed lit until the following evening. And then they would, either Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, did they actually put it out and then relit it, or did they not have to even take it out, it just stayed lit, and they would light the other candles from it, and then they would extinguish it and then light it from the other candles. In any event, this was a very special nes. But what happened, this Ner Maravi was used to light the other candles. As the Gemara says, Mimeno hayo madlik uboy mesayim. They would use it to light the other candles, and then it would be the last one to be lit. So how's this akasha? Gemara says, Vahohoho, the kibiyan eros. According to the opinion, there are two different opinions as to how the menorah was. There was an opinion that says that the candelabra part where the Ner was actually in could be lifted out. But according to the opinion that the menorah was kavua, all the lamps were kavua in the menorah, so then how did you get the Ner Maravi to go light the other candles? It didn't physically get removed, so it's not adjacent to it. So how did the middle candle light all the other candles? Obviously, you must have used a match. Otherwise, how would you go light from the middle candle, this Ner Maravi, to the other candles? Lo sagya de lo mashkil ve'adluki. Obviously, you had to go and take a match, again, a chip of wood, a splinter of something, to go light from the Ner Maravi to light the other candles. Kasha, to both opinions. Bein l'lamar, de amem mishum bizui mitzvah. Whether you say, like, the opinion that held that Rav said you're not allowed to do this because it's a bizayin of the mitzvah, like Rav Adar Barava, the first one was the Talmud of Rav Adar Barava. The second one was Rav Adar Barava says that it's going to cause the candle to be somewhat extinguished. So here you clearly see that in the Mishkan they did that. So Gemara says, no, that's an easy answer. Tirgum Rapapa bipsilos arukos. You know how you could do this? By having a very long wick. And the wick from one went to candle number two, candle number three, candle number four. So therefore the Nehemiah Rabbi had a very long wick, and therefore you could move it, so to say, and light the others without actually having to move it. Okay, that's great if you hold over here. Sof, l'man d'yomim yishum achushi mitzvah kasha. That's great if you say it's because of bizui mitzvah, there's no bizayin. But according to the one that says it's weakening it, so the opinion over here of Rav Adar Barava, that's a kasha. Gemara says, yeah, tak, it's a kasha. When we end off with kasha, it means that there is an answer, but the Gemara chose, for whatever the reason, not to give. Gemara now continues and says, my havi Allah, what is the bottom line? What is the answer? Can you go light from one candle to the other? So in halacha l'maisa, we say, whichever way you hold, the minhag is not to do this. But what is the real halach? Rav Huna Breder Yeshua says, you can only answer this question as to whether you can light from one candle to the other if you understand what is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Chazina, let's check out, let's see. He had lock osu mitzvah. Does the actual lighting fulfill the mitzvah? And then, once you've lit, madlikim ner l'ner, then Rav would say that you're allowed to go light from one Chanukah candle to the other candle, at least directly, even according to Rav, because there's no bizayon over here. But if you say vi hanoch osu mitzvah, but if the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to put it in its place, so then ein madlikim ner l'ner, because the act of lighting it isn't performing the mitzvah. And therefore, you haven't done a mitzvah, it's like lighting a match, and that you're not allowed to do according to Rav. So that's the question. Dibaylu, hadlokos mitzvah or nochos mitzvah? We can only answer the question as to what Rav's shita is halach l'maisa based upon what is the mitzvah. Is it lighting it or is it placing it in its right position? So let's try to bring a raya. Toshma. Hayatofus ner chanukah v'yomid. If a person is standing there holding on to the ner chanukah and he goes outside, again, they used to light outside. Loss of loklum. So if he's holding it and he's standing there and doesn't go outside, he's just standing there for half an hour with the lit Chanukah licht in his hand, lo asav lo klum. Aye, he lit the Chanukah candles, but that's not the mitzvah. Shmamina hanoch osu mitzvah, that it's the placing it down in the right place outside, that fulfills the mitzvah. Just that the fact that you lit it and it actually stayed lit for half an hour is irrelevant. Gemara says, lav dafka. Hasam, you know why it's no good in that situation? The real mitzvah is to light it. But when somebody sees you, haroa omer, letzarcho dinokid la, he's not doing a mitzvah. He needs to hold a lamp in his hand. He's looking for something. And therefore, it doesn't appear like he's doing the mitzvah. Therefore, Chazal said, you're not yotze. You can't bring me a raya as to whether hadlok osi mitzvah or hanoch osi mitzvah from that. Try again. Toshma, bring another brisa. The Amar Rava. Rava says, hidliku bifnim votziya. If somebody again lit the Chanukah licht in his house, and then he went outside. So he lit it inside, and then he carried it outside. Lo asa klum. He didn't accomplish anything. Now, you're telling me that the lighting does the mitzvah, so then I understand. Hadlaka b'makomo b'winah. You have to light it in the right place, and you lit it in the house, and the right place is outside. That's why you're not yotze. Ah, we understand. Lo asa klum. However, mishumachi lo asa klum. Ella, but if you say yamris hanachos mitzvah, it's the placement. Who cares where you lit it? How come you're not yotze? You lit it inside, but that's not the mitzvah. You put it outside. You should have fulfilled the mitzvah. Yet it said lo asa lo klum. The Brisa says, am I lo asa lo klum? Why is that true? So that must be that it's hadlakos mitzvah, not hanachos mitzvah. Again, the word says, no, nothing doing. The reason why you're not yotze, hasam nami. Again, it's appearance's sake. Haroa hu omer, the person who sees you doing this will say, he lit it inside because he needs a candle. He's looking for stuff. Letzarku adlaka, he lit it for his own needs and not for the hanocha purpose. In fact, hanocha osim mitzvah, but he didn't light it for that purpose and therefore he's not yotze. So therefore, we're left with no solution based on these two brises. So we try again. Turning to the Amud Aleph of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph in a second. Toshma, we bring over here another ayah from the Brisa. The Amud Bishum Alev, Bishum Alev says, Ashoshis. What is an Ashoshis? An Ashoshis is a lantern. You see the foreign language word that Rashi uses in the top Rashi is lantern. Kli Gadosh is Chuchis. It's a large utensil that's made of glass. Bila is a lantern. This is a lamp, a lantern. And this lantern, this lantern was lit, according to Rashi, on Erev Shabbos for the purpose of the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and it stayed lit all Shabbos long. He put in a lot of oil, and it stayed lit all Shabbos long. And then the Motzi Shabbos, what does he do on Motzi Shabbos? Mechabeh, he puts it out, and now he wants to be Yotzei the next night of Hanukkah licht, umadlika, and he lights it then. So therefore, we can bring a Rai as follows. If you say mitzvah, if you tell me that it is the lighting that is the critical thing, I understand. Everything works out well if you hold like that, because he had to put it out and he had to light it again. But if you're telling me that the real chiddush over here is that the placement is what makes the mitzvah, so then it should have said, hi, instead of saying mechabe umadlika, he just puts it out and lights it. You know what it should have said? Mechabe, he puts it out, umagbia, he lifts it up, umenicha, and he puts it down, umadlika, miboyele, because hanocha osa mitzvah. So we bring a raya from here that it's hadlaka osa mitzvah. That's point number one. Tosis has an interesting aside over here. He says, v'im tomar amai mechabe, why do you have to put it out then? If the hadlaka osa mitzvah, it should be enough to just pick it up and then put it down. Why do you have to go and blow it out? So he answers, "V'yesh lomar demayrish yedliko mitchilasa l'tzorach Shabbos." He holds not like Rashi. Rashi says he lit it originally for the Chanukah licht, but Tosfos says he originally lit it for Shabbos licht. That's why you have to put it out Motzei Shabbos and light it again l'shem ner Chanukah. Okay, but in any event, we have a raya over here that had lakos and mitzvah. But oh, furthermore, from here we bring another raya. Midikar mevarchina. What's the bracha that we make? Hashem kicharim esav etzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Now, the whole discussion about what the bracha is, so we say Shel Shabbos, we say Ner Shel Shabbos, but there's all machlokas. Do we say Ner Shel Chanukah, or Shel Chanukah is one word, or some just have Lahadlik Ner Chanukah? So there's a whole discussion in Torah over here about this. What's the difference between Shel Shabbos and Shel Chanukah? One word, two words, no words? In any event, we'll leave that for another point in time, the whole discussion about the bracha. But what do we see? The key word in the bracha is lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Shma minah hadlaka osa mitzvah. That the critical point over here is that it's the lighting that makes the mitzvah. So here's another reason. So we have two good reasons. Shma minah, this talk is the proof that the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah licht is the hadlaka osa mitzvah. The hashtu damrin hadlaka osa mitzvah. Now that we've proven that the hadlaka is osa mitzvah, it has a couple of nafkaminas. Number one, hidlika cheresh ot v'katan. If any of these incompetent in halacha people, a cheresh is a person who both can't speak and can't hear. A shot is an incompetent, mentally incompetent person. A katan is a person who hasn't reached the age that he's considered halachically mentally competent. Since the mitzvah is the lighting and their action has no halachic significance, they're not bar das. So therefore, if any of these cheresh ot v'katan were to light the Chanukah licht, lo asa v'lo klum. If you'd say hadlaka osa mitzvah, their action is worthless. If you say hanocha osa mitzvah, so then somebody else could light it. That's irrelevant. As long as they put it down in the right place, then that would be sufficient. So you clearly see from here, based upon that we paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah, that you can't have the cheresh otim katan light it. However, isha vadim adlika, but a woman definitely can light the Chanukah licht, even though it's a mitzvah seishas man groma, time-dependent mitzvah, which normally women are exempt from. The Rav Shulman Levi, here's the exception, because Rav Shulman Levi says, Noshim chayobus v'ner Chanukah, sh'afhein hayu b'yosu ha'nes. Women were also involved in the ner, nes of Chanukah. In fact, Yehudis was the star of the Chanukah story, and women were in integral part of the mitzvah of Chanukah, and therefore women are also obligated in the Pesume Nisa of Chanukah. There is a halacha, however, that a husband and wife, only one of them lights. The man specifically lights the Chanukah lich because the Chanukah lich for the outside world, the Pesume Nisa. Whereas the same halacha is that a man and a woman both are supposed to light the Shabbos lich, and one can fulfill the mitzvah for the other. But here, the woman specifically writes because that's for the inside for the house. That's for shalom bayis. That's for the house being pleasant and full of happiness. So therefore, that's the woman's role to light the Shabbos licht, and the man's role, which is more of an external role, the man lights the Chanukah licht. A beautiful idea. Mark continues and says, what about guests? Achsanoi, a person who's staying over at your house for Chanukah, chayv ner Chanukah. He also has the mitzvah of lighting ner Chanukah. But Amr Zera says, Meresh Kiavina Beirav, when I was a Talmud in the Beis Medrash, so I thought, Mishtaf Tafna Biprite Bahadi Yushpiza. I thought the best way to fulfill the mitzvah was to give some money to the balabas that I was staying in. And this way, some suggest he had to buy a little bit of extra oil, or even if not, that I would be Yotze with him. Lav Dafka, you even have to give it. The poskim say he could give it to you as a matana. You don't have to actually purchase it from him with a few prutos. But in any event, he said, I have to be a partner in this mitzvah. However, once I got married, Boston in the Sive, Itza, when I got married to my wife, I said I no longer have to be participating where I am. Because you know what? I have a house. Hashtavadi Lutzrichta. I don't have to participate with the person that I'm staying at the yeshiva. Because my wife is lighting for me. They're called Madlike Ale Begoy Beisai. My wife is lighting for me in my house. The obligation is on our house, and my wife is lighting for me. This is a very not well-known halacha lemaisa, that if a husband is at work and he's not coming home at a decent hour, it would actually be preferable for his wife to light on their behalf at the right hour than for him to light. Let's say his wife goes to sleep. There's nobody in the house, so they really can't light at that point. If nobody's up, you can't really light in the house. He comes home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's up. So he has a choice. He can wake up his wife, which isn't a nice thing to do, or let his wife light at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night at the proper zman. That is the halacha l'maisa, although it's probably not the halacha that most people do. Most people, they wait till the husband comes home, and then they light to the other. Now, you can be okay with that because other people are up, but if nobody is up, then that really is not the halacha l'maisa. Mark continues and says, Amr Shuman Levi, call Ashmanim Kulon Yafilaner. All oils, all types of shemen are allowed to be used to light the Chanukah licht, as opposed to what we said on Shabbos, where there's a lot of other concerns about certain types of oil, but by Chanukah licht it doesn't apply. But Shemen Zayis Minamuchar, but still the optimal oil to be Yotzi the Mitzvah Minamuchar is with Shemen Zayis, because that's where the Nes occurred in the Beis Hamikdash with Shemen Zayis. Furthermore, Abaye said, Mevei Shave Mahader Mar Amishcho Dishum Shemi. Originally, I tried to light the Chanukah licht not with olive oil, but with sesame seed oil. Rashi says over here, the reason why he tried to get specifically sesame seed oil, because Moshuch Nohore Eino Mamah L'chalus K'shemen Zayis. It wouldn't go out as quickly as the Shemen Zayis. And that's what he says over here. Amar Abaye. Mahader Mar Amishcho Dishum Shishi Dishum Shemi, because it would light longer. It would last a longer period of time and greater the mitzvah. However, he then learned, Kiv the Shama Leila Hadir Rishu Malevi, he heard what Rishu Malevi said, which was, Mahad dera mishko de zeisa, you bedaku should look for shemen zayis, olive oil. So he said, Omar hait still noritve. As Rashi points out, it lights brighter. Tzolulu meir, it's clearer and it's more light. So it may not last as long as the sesame seed oil, but you'd rather have the oil lighting for the right amount of time, albeit a shorter amount of time, and be a better light than a slightly longer period of time, but not be as nice. Another statement from Rishon Levi. I'm Rishon Levi. Kol Hashmanim Yofel L'Diyo. Similarly, that when you're adding shemen into oil, the way they would make oil was they would burn some oil. It would blacken the vessel that they burnt it in, a lantern or something, and then we'd scrape it off, and they'd add that to water, and they would make the ink over here, the diyo. That's what Rashi says over here. Was the way they used to make it. Matzasi b'shuvas agonim. Shema shinun klei zchuchas. They would blacken some sort of a glass utensil with the smoke, ba'ashan shemen zayis. So they'd burn off this oil. It would blacken the glass. Achem mashchir. It would get dark. The gorer hashichuris. They would scrape off this blackness. V'nosi b'shemen. They'd add some oil to it. Kimo a little bit. Umagabel bo. And they'd mix it together. Umiyavshu. Then they'd dry it up in the sun. B'chama. And then they would make it, they would rub it into the ink over here. So that's the way they would go and do it to make black ink. That was the preferred way. And Shemen Zayis Minamucha, the best oil to do this with was Shemen Zayis. But they asked in the Beis Medrash, Shibalu, Legabel Oliashin. Was it the first part or the second part? The burning part or the adding the oil to the scraped off black part? Which one required Shemen Zayis? So the Gemara says, here's the brisa. Toshma, the Tani Rishmul Bar Zutri, Rav Shmuel Bar Zutri said, Kol Hashmoni Yofin L'Dio. All oils are good for Dio, but the best is the Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis Ben Amuchar, and this is true for part one or part two. Ben L'Gabel, Ben L'Ashen, the first part or the second part. Now this was taught in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Zutri. We have Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Masniochi. He learned the brisa a little bit differently. He said, Kol Hashonim Yofin L'Dio. All smokes are good for the Dio. The Shemen Zayis Ben Amuchar, but the Shemen Zayis is the best part, which the Mefarshim explain over here, is only for the first part, the smoking it part. That's what he's talking about, the Ashanim Yofel Adio. But for the actual Gibel part, when you mix it together, that you can use any oil. So Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra is a little bit different than Rav Shmuel Bar Zutri. Finally, Omer Rav Huna, Kol HaSrafin Yofel Adio. All types of sraf. Sraf is coming, the lichluchis, the moisture that comes out of a tree. So he says all of the sraf, all of the sap over here, the gum that comes out of the tree, is good for making this dark ink as well. Sraf kitof, but the sraf that comes out of the kitof, a certain type of tree, Yofim Mikulim, is better than all the others. Gemara continues, says, I'm Rechia Barashi, I'm a Rav. Rechia Barashi said the name of Rav. Hamad liknir shel Chanukah tzorech levarich. When you're making the bracha on the Chanukah licht, you must make a bracha. When you see the Chanukah licht, he makes make a bracha. And this, of course, is what we do. Halacha l'maisa, if somebody can't light the Chanukah licht, he's unable to do so for whatever the reason, and he in fact goes and sees somebody else's Chanukah licht, he can make a bracha, sha'asa nitzim. Now, these are the two brachas that we're talking about. Rav Chiya Barashi says it's lahadlik, and Rav Yirmiyah says it's sha'asa nitzim. Gemara continues and says, Amar Yehuda, Yom Rishon, on the first day, the first day, you make two brachos over here. That's talking about Haroah. Only the one who sees it makes two brachos. When we light it, we actually make three. Umadlik Baruch Shalosh, and the one who actually lights it makes three, because he also makes Lahadlik, as opposed to, they both make Sha'asa Nisim and Shechianu. But Mikam Ve'elich, on the second night through the eighth night, if you light it, Madlik Baruch Shtayim, Lahadlik and Sha'asa Nisim, as we know, Baruch Baruch Achas, and somebody who sees it only makes Sha'asa Nisim. Now, I gave you the answer already. The Gemara asks, Maimimayit, which one is different on the subsequent nights that you don't make three the rest of the time you make two, or if you only made two the first, when you see it, you only make one. So Mamaitzman, it leaves out the Shechion. You only make the Shechion the first night. Gemara says, why not the Nimot Nes? Why don't you just say one Sha'asa Nisim, and the rest of the time you don't make Sha'asa Nisim? So Gemara says, no, Nes Kol Yom Yisim, because the Nes was every night. Each night that the oil lit, that was a Nes. So you have to make Sha'asa Nisim every night. But the Shechion goes on the Zman of Hanukkah, so that you only make on the first day. Halach L'maisa, if you didn't make it the first day, then you do make it on another day, because you make it once for Hanukkah. Again, what is the bracha? My mevarech. So the Gemara says, mevarech asher kiddushanu v'sasav etzivanu lahadik ner. And again, shel Chanukah is one word, is two words, or just Chanukah. Again, a famous machlokas. Ve'echa matzino. But wait a second. Where do we find that Hashem commanded us to light the Chanukah licht? It's a mitzvah derabanan. So the Gemara says there are two reasons why we can say asher kiddushanu v'sasav etzivanu, that we're saying to Hashem that you commanded us to do this, even though he didn't. The rabbis did. So Rav Avi Amar, it's because the pasuk says milo sasur, you're not allowed to go and deviate from what Hashem has told us the rabbis to do. So whatever the rabbis tell us to do, man is not allowed to deviate from. Lo sasur. And therefore, when the rabbis told you to go light the Chanukah licht, so you're not allowed to deviate from that. That's what we say, Asher Kiddushanu, the Mitzosav, Vitzivanu, that the rabbis commanded us to, and we're not over lo sasur. Alternatively, Rav Chaim Yomar, he says, no, we follow it from the pasuk, Sha'alavich v'yagedcha zekinech v'yomuloch, because your father and your rabbis told you to do something, so therefore you have to do it. But basically, everybody agrees that on a mitzvah derabban, you can say, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzosav Vitzivanu. So if that's true, how come Masiv Rav Amar? Rav Amar says, wait a second, in the Mishnah Demai, it tells us that, in fact, on Demai, what is Demai? Demai is Do-Mai. What is this? So there was a time that the Amaratzim didn't take off certain types of Trumas and Maestros, so therefore the rabbis instituted a Knas, and we say, whenever you're buying something from an Amaretz, so you have to take off again Trumas and Maestros, because maybe they didn't take it off. So on this Demai, Ma'arvin Bo, you're allowed to make an Erev with Demai, because technically it could be eaten, and Erev has to be eaten. You make an Erev Chatzeres, it has to be able to be eaten. U'mishtatvin Bo, you can make a sheet of Avayos, again, because it has to be able to be eaten, and technically you can eat Demai. U'mivarchin Olav, and you make a bracha, Hamotzi, on Demai. U'mizan Olav, you can make a benching, a bracha Achrona, on Demai. So in all of these situations, you're allowed to go and use the demai umafrish no so orum uben hashmoshes. And in fact, you can be mafrish from this demai even if you're naked, and you can do it on the ben hashmoshes period of time. You're normally not allowed to be mafrish trumas and maisos during the ben hashmoshes, but here you're allowed to. The thing that we're most interested in over here is how come you're allowed to be mafrish it when you're naked. If you tell me when you mafrish a din de rabbanon over here, you have to make a bracha on a din de rabbanon, so then, how can you make it when you're naked? Obviously, you're making a bracha, it's a de rabbanon. But you're naked, and you're not allowed to make a bracha when you're naked. Veleko, since you're not wearing any clothing, how could you make a bracha? Mustn't it be that you don't make a bracha on a de rabbanon? Kasha, on the statement that we made, Asher Kitron Mesav Tzivanu, on a de rabbanon. So our rabbi says, no, that's not a problem. No, you're allowed to make a bracha on a derabbanan because of the reasons that we said. Why do we not make a bracha by demai? Sofek de divreim lo by bracha. Because here it's only a sofek on a derabbanan. Maybe, in fact, it doesn't require, because trumas and maisos are taken off. When mafrish, al sofek, and on a sofek, you don't make a bracha. Mor says, really? Vayantiv sheni. Yantiv sheni shogalias. The second day of Yantiv in Chutz Laaretz, that's certainly only the Rabbanon. The Sofik Divrayim Hu by Bracha. It's a Sofik Dirabbanon, and yet we do make a Bracha, we make Kiddush on the second day, etc. So how come, if it's only a Sofik, you just said Sofik, we don't make a Bracha? You see, the Sofik Divrayim Hu by Bracha. Mar says, no, it's not because of that. The reason why we make brachas on the second day of Yom Tisheni Shel Galios is Hasum Ki Hech Delol Zilzule Bei. People, unfortunately, you can see this in the non-frum people, they say, there's only one day, because today we know the calendar. So there's no din of Sveik of the Yom anymore. That's not true. Chazal said, you have to do this, Minig Avaseinu Miyodeinu. We have to do this regardless of the fact that we know exactly when the calendar is. And therefore, to strengthen this, the rabbi said, you make brachos. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, teretz number two, Rav Amar, you know why you don't make a bracha on demai? It's not because we don't make a bracha on derabbanan. We do make a bracha on derabbanan for the reason that we said. Why don't we make a bracha on demai? Because Rav Amayaritz Ma'asrenein. The vast majority of Amaratzim really take off Trumas and Maisos. It's only a small percentage that didn't. And therefore, that small percentage caused us to not trust any of the Amaratzim. But Lamaisa, most of them did. Therefore, we don't make a bracha for something that most of them, in fact, did. And that would be mafreshit only because of a chumra derabbanan and not because of a din derabbanan. The Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Huna, chatzis sheyesh lo shnei psachim." Going back to the Chanukah licht, if a house has two different doorways, two different entrances, tzricha shtei neros, you have to light Chanukah licht by both doors. Why? Amar Rav, lo amarin ela b'shtei ruchos. We only said this when it's on two sides of the street, let's say. So you have a right angle, you have a window on one side, and one window around the corner on the right angle on the other side. Then you have to light Chanukah licht by both. But if you have two windows, two doors on the same side, then you only have to light in one of them. The more questions and says, why? My timer. If you're telling me, Lem Mishum Chashoda, if you're concerned that people are going to say he doesn't like Chanukah licht, so Chashoda the man, who are we worried about over here that's going to suspect you? Ilema Chashoda the Yamu, if you're talking about the entire world, not only the people of your city, but anybody that's a guest that comes by is going to say, hey, that Jew doesn't like Chanukah licht. So I feel Baruch Achas Nami Liboy. So then even if it's two doors on the same side of the house, they don't know that two different people live there. They see two doors, they assume it's two different families. And they'll see Chanukah licht by door number one, and they'll see no Chanukah licht by door number two. They'll say, ah, the people in door number two, they're Shkotzim. They don't like Chanukah licht. Ah, they're terrible Jews. So that can't be the reason. But if it's the people in the city, so then they know that Yanko lives over here. What difference does it make? I feel mishtei ruchos, nami lo liboy. They'll see that Yanko lit candles on this side, so of course he's not going to light candles again on the other side. So there's no chashada. So either there's a chashada if it's both on the same side, or there's no chashada at all. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara answers, lo mishum chashada dvei masa. No, we actually are concerned about the suspicion that people in your neighborhood, they'll say, you didn't light candles. If you have it only on side A and you don't have it on side B, they'll suspect you. Why is that? They know that you live there, so they'll see one side, they'll automatically know the Yanko lived. Gemara says, because Zimnin, the Machafi Bahai, below Chafi Bahai. They're only going to pass side A. They're not going to see side B. And then they're going to see the army. They're going to say, hey, Yanko didn't light on side A. Mastami didn't light on side B also. Just like he didn't light over here, they're going to assume the worst, unfortunately, and say he didn't light over there as well. And therefore, the chashad is on the people in the town. So if it's on different sides of the house, you better light on both sides. But if it's on the same side of the house, so then people will see in your own town, they'll know that you live there and you lit by door A and not by door B. They'll say, Yanko lights Chanukah licht, he's a good Jew. With this, we conclude today's shir.